many different backgrounds come together and worship like this, and how can they smile when their world as a whole is turned upside down? Well, you can find it very simply through the Word of God. And I think they've summed it up very well today in the song that they've sang, "Your Spirit Lives Within Me." That's how we can smile. Got to get a witness. That's how we can come to church on a Sunday morning when everything's going wrong and just give God praise. The Spirit of God lives within us. Amen. I want to take your attention to the Word of the Lord, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Amen. Got people back here getting baptized right now. We ought to just give the Lord some praise for that. All of heaven rejoices over one soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And to me, that never gets old. I'll tell you, that just, be having a down day, a bad day, you just start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, what God's doing around here right now. This makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Sutton, I don't know where he's at, but wherever he is, I love him. Collins, my friend, this wonderful family, wonderful church. Amen. Thank God for a church that knows how understands the ebb and flow of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Amen. If God will help us today, I know this is just the prefix of the story. I want to try to preach through the story as a whole. But if God will help us for just a little while, I want to preach to you just a very simple thought today, that God is in control. God is in control. How many believe that? What about the rest of you? How many believe that? How many believe God is in control? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we lift our hands right now and just pray and ask the Lord to help us. God, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, today to know you in the fullness of your truth and the fullness of power of your might. We're asking you, Lord, right now to have your way in this house. From the front to the back, side to side, saturate us with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to talk with you. Help us today, God, to do your will. Would you fill somebody else with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues? God, would you set somebody free from the bondage of sin? Would you break chains? Would you destroy fetters? God, would you break addictions and habits and hang-ups in the name of Jesus? God, I thank you for what you're doing right now in these lives. I thank you for pouring out your Spirit. I think we ought to just have a few moments of a praise party while they're baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's take just a few moments with our hands lifted up and our voices raised and give God, come on, thank you, Jesus. Like this good Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know we can move on right now, but I'm rejoicing in what the Holy Ghost is doing. Woo. I
I know sometimes we take it for granted for what's happening back there right now, but let me just tell you what's happening in the heavenly realm. All of heaven is rejoicing. I know sometimes we get used to it because it happens on a weekly basis, but I'm going to tell you right now, the angels are desiring to look into what's happening in this building right now. Every heavenly being that God created that lives on the other side of glory, the beasts that fly around the throne singing holy, holy, holy is the Lamb, they're desiring to look into what's happening here today. Thank you, Lord. Come on, would you just tell him? I know some of y'all are wanting me to move on, and I get it. You want to go to lunch. That's fine. You can go to lunch here in a little bit. You can leave now if you want to. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is working. We need to. This is hallowed. Come on, this is a special place we're in right now. Jesus, Jesus. Well, the Bible says when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. Why don't you just travail with me right now? Why don't you pray in the Holy Ghost with me right now? Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost right now. You got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be praying in tongues right now. Woo. Oh, why don't we tell him thank you one more time? Just tell him thank you, Jesus, one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. Again, this is a very familiar text today. What's happening right now is because God's in control. But this is a familiar text. We know very well the story of Jonah. How many's ever heard of Jonah just by lifting your hand? Those of you that ain't been lifting your hand, you didn't go to Sunday school. Or if you did, you was one of the bad kids that wasn't paying attention. No, I'm kidding. Everybody's heard the story of Jonah. Jonah was called by God to overturn the Assyrian hub. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to this. We understand that the city that Jonah is sent to preach to is the city of Nineveh. But at this point in time in biblical history, the Assyrians are in control. Look at your neighbor and tell them the Assyrians are in control. Now, you got that? Ask them, do you have it? All right, making sure. Wickedness, we understand, was the purpose, but we don't have to delve very far into their religious strongholds of that day to see what was at the very heart of their evil. Their wickedness, the very core of their wickedness, we find through scripture and through study of the Assyrians was idolatry. Idolatry was at the very center of everything that was going on in their world. Bishop Sutton, I am of the belief today that every sin that we recognize under the sun stems from idolatry. When Lucifer was cast down from heaven, the purpose was because he said to himself, I will become as God. And from that point on, idolatry began to try to take over the entire earth. When the serpent that beguiled Eve, when he came to her, I don't know at exactly what point, she began to believe his lie. But Pastor Collins, if I had to assert my own presumptions, I would presume that she began to believe what the serpent said at the moment he said, if you eat this, you will be like a god. And so, again, we see this I want to be lifted up. And we see as time progresses, Nimrod brings the people together to build a tower into the heavens. And they said it is for the simple reason, let us make us a name. Let's lift up ourselves. Israel spends 400 years in slavery. And the first thing they do when Moses turns his back is they build themselves a golden calf. You can see it. It's all been centered through idolatry. And when God finally lets the ones of the Israelites that had been exposed to that in the Canaan land, God gives them a command to kill the inhabitants of Canaan. And don't let your daughters marry their sons because they worship idols. We can go throughout Scripture and find very easily that they worship the gods of the day, the gods of the night, the gods of the harvest, the rain, and the sun. As a matter of fact, historically, where the Trinity came from was not the worshiping of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but rather it was worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. We could talk just a little while about the king Ahab. Ahab was known as the worst king that Israel ever had because he caused Israel to sin by causing them to worship false gods. They sacrificed their own children because of idolatry. And it didn't stop there. Throughout the Old Testament, we move into the New Testament and we see 2,000 years after they walk into the Promised Land. We see in the days of Paul where they built temples to Aphrodite and Pergamos and Diana. And they even as went as far as building buildings and labeling them to the unknown gods. They had so many gods to worship that they just built a building and slapped the name on it and said, to all y'all, we don't know your name. How you like that? And so they couldn't even keep up with it, and it didn't stop there. Literally, here we are 2,000 years removed from that, and there is the gods of sports and the gods of entertainment and the gods we see in this world. Men, lover of the pleasures of flesh rather than those that love Christ. And so the only thing that God could do then besides wipe them off the face of the earth is send them a preacher. You will find it in every prophetic book, in every book, Old Testament prophet of the Bible, where they are major or minor, God giving a message to his people to repent for their idolatry, which brings us this morning to our text where God has spoken to Jonah. Because the Assyrians have committed an evil. They have caused Israel to go after false gods. And they are trying to oppress Israel into worshiping the gods that they worship. And so God speaks to Jonah. Undoubtedly, Jonah is a man that has heard from God in the past. God speaks to Jonah and tells Jonah to go down to the Assyrians at Nineveh and preach repentance unto the Assyrians. But Jonah, we understand, decides that he has a better idea. He decides that he will go the opposite direction. And I might mess your little Sunday school story up today, but when we look at Jonah from our westernized world, when we look at Jonah from our 2021 lenses, when we see him from this little red stool in Sunday school while we're drinking our Kool-Aid and eating our goldfish, it's really easy to look at Jonah and point a finger at him and say, you rebel, you. Why wouldn't you obey God? Jonah, why wouldn't you listen to the Lord? Jonah, why wouldn't you obey when God spoke to you and told you to go down into Nineveh? It's really easy for us to look at Jonah and assume that he is a failure. It's really easy for us to look at Jonah and assume the worst about him. But can I tell you today that that wasn't Jonah's fault? The fact that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was not Jonah's fault. You say, well, why not, preacher? Well, the passage tells us that Jonah decided he wants to go the other way. What the passage does not tell us is why. You see, when you began to study the Assyrians, and especially the ones there at Nineveh, it was custom in this day and time that when a worshiper of Jehovah would come in and tell them to repent, that they would immediately be beheaded. Now, you tell me you wouldn't have went the other way. You can convince, you can tell me all you want to, but I'll tell you what, let's just take a poll today. We're going to go down here to the local club, and we're going to walk in, and we're going to start testifying of the goodness of Jesus. But here's the catch. When you walk in and you say Jesus, they're going to shoot you right between the eyes. Now let's see how many people want to go down there today. The truth of the matter is, I know it ain't real pretty, but I kind of like this head. It's the best one I ever had. I'm sure that's kind of how Jonah felt. You know, if I go down there, I know all the prophets that have went to Nineveh, and they went down there and they've had their head chopped off because of the message. And again, it's really easy for us to point a finger at Jonah and to assume the worst about Jonah because we weren't the one with our heads fixing to be cut off. Jonah ran the other reason, but let me just tell you today that God understood what was going on in Jonah's mind. Can I tell you today that there most of us here would have ran, but God knew Jonah's weaknesses and God knew Jonah's fears, and that is exactly the reason why God chose Jonah to go down to Nineveh. Can I just park here for a moment and tell you that you think that you got it all figured out, that God doesn't want you and God doesn't care about you, and that God cannot use you because of your mistakes and because of your weakness and because of your shortcomings. But Jonah, can I tell you that that's exactly the reason why he chose you to do a work for him? You may feel as if you can never do anything for God, but let me just tell you, God has a way of taking broken people that are useless to everybody else and that are no good through the eyes of society, and bringing them up to a place of ministry and using them for his glory. Can I tell you today that while Jonah was running, God was still in control? While Jonah was making his mistake, God was still in control. While Jonah was making failure after failure after failure, God was still in control. Can I preach to somebody right now? You messed up this week. Can I tell you that your mistake did not knock God off the throne? Your failure did not take away his power. The sin that you committed did not make God unable to work in your life. God is greater than your failure. God is greater than your mistake. God is greater than your sin. God is greater than your problem. And that God is in control. And so if you will allow me to preach through the text today, we see that Jonah, as he's on his way to Tarshish, the Bible tells us that a storm came. And when the storm came, it caught Jonah by surprise. But can I preach to somebody on a Sunday morning that the storm did not catch God by surprise? The storm may catch you by surprise, but let me just tell you, God is still in control even in the storm. Because when you begin to read the text, you will find that Jonah and the men in the ship battled a spirit of confusion. But can I tell you today that while you're confused, God is in control. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. You might not understand why bad things happen to good people. You might be confused about what's going on in your world. But can you hear this preacher today? While you're in your state of confusion, God
is still in his state of control. While you're confused about your world, God is in control of your world. While you're confused about your family, God is still in control of your family. While you're confused of your finance, God is still in control of your finance. Don't let the storm rob your faith. Stand up in the storm, honey, and know that God is in control. I might not know what's going on, but God knows what's going on. I might not know the direction I need to go, but God knows the direction I need to go. God is in control.
Hallelujah. And so, you know the story. The Bible tells us that they cast lots. And they decide that Jonah is going to be thrown overboard. And so now Jonah cannot control the direction anymore. Now God controls the direction. You see, that's why the storm was orchestrated. Because if you read your Bible, the Bible says that the Lord prepared the storm. That's why it was orchestrated, is to get your hands off the steering wheel of your life. And you're wondering, why am I walking through the storm? Honey, because God's in control. Why is my life upside down? Because God's in control. Why is everything going wrong? Because God's in control. And as long as you've got your hands on the steering wheel, he's going to keep sending storm after storm after storm, because he wants to get you out of your confusion into a place where he is in control. And so the Bible tells us that They get Jonah. Jonah loses his ability to decide the direction that he's going. He gets thrown overboard. And the Bible says that God prepared. Everyone say that with me, prepared. God prepared a great fish. And now Jonah is swallowed. Now not only is Jonah consumed, but now Jonah's consumed. But can I tell somebody today that feels like you're consumed by what's going on in the world around you? While you're consumed, God's still in control. Well, I can't get no help on a Sunday morning. I'm talking to somebody right now that walked into this place today and you were so surrounded by your problems, you couldn't see your way out. But can I tell you right now that God is still on the throne? You're going to hear it so many times, you're going to leave sick of hearing it. But I'm going to tell you today that he's still got all power. It's still all in his hand. All power in heaven and earth still belongs unto the Lord. And so here's the deal. Now this is what I'm sure Bishop has a very smart, wise, intelligent reasoning for this. I don't. I just have a very simple idea. But the Bible tells us that while he is confused and while he is consumed, he's in the belly of the fish. And the Bible tells us that Jonah turned his face towards Jerusalem. Now, I got a question. How in the cornbread world can a man in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the fish, know where Jerusalem is? The only way I can explain it is while he was confused and he was consumed, he started feeling conviction. And so he started aligning, and you're wondering why you're here today. I'm going to tell you why. Because God was turning that well towards Jerusalem just enough so he would know, Jonah, this is the direction you need to be praying towards. This is the place you need to be talking to God. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I know this may be a little uncomfortable for you today, and you don't like to think that God made me go through everything that I've been through. But let me tell you, I'm going to get to it here in a minute. It had a purpose. It was the first purpose is to get you to
realize where your help comes from. Your help's not on your own, but he looked towards Jerusalem because he recognized the conviction that he was feeling while he was consumed and while he was in a state of confusion. I'm telling you today that the place that you're in and the feeling that you're feeling, the only way to describe it is it's the conviction of God trying to bring you to a place of greater importance. It's the conviction of God trying to bring you back. Hear me, backslider. Trying to bring you back to that place where you once were. It's the conviction of God drawing your attention towards the... I'm preaching to somebody right now from my heart. Don't let the confusion and the consumption stop your conviction. Keep on looking towards Jerusalem. Keep on going to the altar. Jonah, you messed up. You made a mistake. But let me just tell you, there's not a mistake that you'll ever make that the altar can't fix. There's not anything you can ever do that the altar can't put you back to. You can't get so broken. You can't fall so far away from God. You can't get too addicted that the altar can't fix it.
And so, I promise I'm preaching as quickly as I can through this story because I want to get to where I'm going today. But Jonah, again, you know the story. He spends 3 days in the belly of the whale, and that's the type of Jesus. And I wish I had time to preach all of that. Jesus spending 3 days in the tomb, and you know all of that good stuff. It's typology of Jesus Christ. Jonah failed, and he had to go in the belly, but Jesus didn't fail, and he went in, took control over death, hell, and the grave, and all of that will make good preaching, and I wish I had time to get into it today, but let me just tell you something. Jonah is spit up on dry land, and now he has the ideology. He's got it right in his head. Now, you can cut my head off. Just don't put me back in the fish. I don't want to go back in there. So he begins to run, and this is where we have to look to the Assyrians' way of warfare to understand what God wants us to get today. You can read many books, and I've got lists of them in my office at home, and you can read about how the Assyrians done warfare. They were the modernized world, and as far as warfare is concerned, in this day and time. And one of their practices, and you can go and study it for yourself, but one of their practices is that when they set up, and Nineveh being their hub right now. So, for instance, they would take every 5 degrees and they would send the fastest men in the army of Assyria, and they would send them out for miles at a time so that when someone was coming in to attack, they were intel. It's kind of like what we have today is what we... somebody set up on a hill with some binoculars and just watch and see what's going on. But that's basically what was happening here in the Assyrians' world. The way that they did it is they would have these men that were runners. They were fast men, the fastest men in the kingdom. And when they seen something happening, they would run back to the hub and they would report to the king. And they would tell them who's coming and what's going to happen. And so picture with me for a minute this man, this young man, in the Assyrian army, running as fast as he can, trying to get to Nineveh to tell the Ninevites what's going on. And he busts through the door and he says, "Hey, there's a prophet coming." And the king of Nineveh says, "Hey, let's somebody sharpen our swords. Let's get ready to kill this guy." And the messenger says, "This one's a little bit different. He come out of the belly of a fish." And you see, that changes everything. Because if you go and you read, it all ties exactly back into what I started talking about. It's idolatry. It links us to 1 Samuel chapter 5, where the people of Ashdod bring the Ark of God, and they have stolen it from the Israelites into their temple. They come back in the day, and they see that their God had been knocked over simply because God was in control. Yet again, they stand him up, and they dust him off, and they go ahead and leave that day again, and they come back in, and the head and the hands of that God are chopped off. and it's all again because God is in control. And that God in mythology was the god Dagon, who was half fish and half man. I think it is not incoincidental at all that these men, these Assyrians, worshipped. When you study who they worshipped, the main deity that they worshipped would be the god Dagon, who was half fish and half man. They would not listen to any other prophet. Prophet after prophet has came. And so God went over here and found a guy with weaknesses. God went over here and found a guy with failure and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. You want to know why? Because he knew Jonah was going to run. And he had to put Jonah in the belly of the fish because the Assyrians were not going to listen to any prophet in a three-piece suit and a nice tie. The Assyrians were not going to listen to anybody that walked down the road and said, I got a word. But God said, I'm going to put you in the belly of their God, and I'm going to bring you out of the belly of their God so that they will hear and they will listen. Can I tell you today, I don't understand why you had to go through all the bad things you went through, but can I tell you today that maybe, just maybe, God put you in the belly of the fish because there's some Ninevites out there that needed to hear it from somebody that came out of the belly of the fish. They're not going to listen to Brother Phillips because I grew up in church, but they'll listen to somebody that says, I've been where you're at. I've walked through what you're walking through. I've been addicted like you've been addicted. But let me tell you something. God is greater than your addiction. God is greater than your failure. I'm telling you, saint of God, the reason you went through what you went through is because God said somebody has got to crawl out of the belly of their God so that they'll listen. Hallelujah. God is in control. Let me tell somebody something. Can I just preach to you from my heart today? You keep trying to be like Jonah and hide all the scars that are on you because that reminds you and everybody else of your past. But can I tell you that there's a Ninevite out there? Stop hiding where you came from. That's your testimony. You don't have to be proud of it. You don't have to be thankful that you were addicted, but you need to be thankful that you're no longer addicted, and you need to let somebody else know these scars you see. I know you see me in the suit and tie. I know you see me driving up in the nice car, but what you don't know is I come out of the belly of your God. I come out of the belly of, they worship alcoholism. They worship drug addiction. They worship staying up all night on a Friday night doing all kind of immoral things. But let me tell you something. God knows how to bring Jonah up out of the belly of that junk and put him on the right path. I'm telling you today, don't hide. You were molested, honey. Don't hide it. Let them know you can come out of the belly of the well. You were rejected. Let them know that you can. I've been where you're at. But if God brought me out, he can bring you out too, because God is in control. God puts a plan into action with the seemingly most likely not to succeed. God puts a plan into action with some little old girl from the wrong side of the tracks. God, my God, I feel like preaching on Sunday morning. God put a, I wish I had time to pass this mic around and let Jonah talk a little bit and talk about how he come out of the belly of the fish. I'm telling you today, you're looking around at some people, and we don't have it all together, but you're looking at people that have come out of the belly. That God that you've been living for, that God of poverty, let me preach about that for a minute. That God of poverty that's kept you in that place. Your mama was broke, your daddy was broke, your uncle, your auntie was broke, and the devil convinced you that you were going to live broke for the rest of your life. But let me tell you about the blessings of the Lord. They make you rich, and there adds no sorrow to it. I'm telling you today, you can come out.
I said, you can come out. But is there a Jonah in the house that has a testimony that you can make it? I know the devil told you you were done. I know the devil told you you'd never make it. But let me tell you that the devil is still a liar. God is in control.
Everybody looked at Jonah and they knew who he was. Israel, understand, Jonah, he's heard from God, but he's a little hard-headed. Sister Sutton, he's tête de. That's Cajun French for hard-headed. He don't like to go where God wants him to go. And so he tries to make it on his own. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm all up in your corn patch. I can do it. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. But God, Jonah, God will put you in the belly of the whale because there's a Ninevite out there that needs to know. Try to do it your own way. Try to figure it out on your own. You keep worshiping Dagon, but God will put somebody in the belly of the whale just to bring them. God will put you in the fire just to bring you out of the fire. God will put you in the storm just to bring you out of the storm. God will put you in the lion's den just to bring you out of the lion's den so that Darius will know that there is a God. And preaching on a Sunday morning and letting somebody, I know you know it, but let me remind you, that same God is in this house, and that same God is in control. The God that brought Daniel out, the God that brought Jonah out, the God that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out, that same God is in this house, and he is in control. I'm going to tell you something. Ninevites might not listen to Brother Phillips, but they'll listen to you. They see Pastor Collins. Pastor Collins has been in church his whole life, right? For the most part, yeah. Been pretty good feller. They might not listen to him, but they will listen to you. I'm going to tell you today, I'm thankful. I don't have any scars up and down my arms from drug abuse. But that's the only testimony that somebody out there, that's the God that they worship. You hearing me today? I know this is old news, but I'm here to preach with a burden, God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. But somebody's got to recognize that there's worth in what you've been through. The devil tried to get you to discount him. The devil tried to get you to be ashamed of it. I was in the belly of the whale, but Jonah, understand, that's the only way that the Ninevites are going to hear you preach. Now, barring the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of the Lord fell. Find me another revival in the Bible that was greater than Jonah's. 127,000 in just a couple of days from somebody that had nothing more than a word from God in their heart and a testimony of where they've been. And help me, Lord. And you keep trying to wait until everything gets right before you're used by God. Jonah, God wants to use you with seaweed wrapped around your neck, the stench of the fish all over you.
putrid because you've been in that, you've been living in the belly of what you've been in for so long that now you're a little bit deformed. And some historians will even tell you that the pigments of Jonah's skin began to look different because the acidic juices, I'm not trying to be gross today, but the acidic juices of the well have begun to break down his skin. And so he don't look like he used to look. He walks with a limp, and he has the scars, Brother Antoine, of what he's been through. But when the Ninevites looked at it, they said, you've been where I'm at. You came out of the God that I've always worshipped. You came out of the Dagon. You came out of the gods that we adore. We adore alcoholism. We adore addictions to drugs. And you, I got to hear what you got to say. I know the preacher will preach, but I'm telling you, you are an evangelist. You're a Jonah for this generation, and you can win somebody because you got a testimony of what you've been through.
It is our natural reaction. The Bible tells us that God prepared the fish. Can I help somebody right here? I promise, I'm done. I'm closing. But the Bible tells us that when he prepared the fish, that word prepared is an Aramaic word. It's the word manhu. We find it in the book of Exodus, where God's people, the Bible says that bread fell from heaven and they called it manna. And the Bible puts it in parentheses, for they wist not what it was. And so the bread, what we call manna, was literally described by the Israelites in just a couple of words. What is this? And when you see that God prepared the fish, it's our natural reaction when stuff starts happening that makes us uncomfortable to ask God the question, what is this? I'm called, I'm chosen, I've got the hand of God on my life. What is it? What are you putting me through? Well, I know this isn't what you wanted to hear on Sunday morning, but it's what I felt in the Holy Ghost. What is this? Here I am. You know, I got a big imagination. I've always wondered what it was like for Jonah sitting in the belly of the fish. Because, you know, Sunday school tells us he built him a little fire and he was roasting fish over the flame. That's what Sunday school says, but I don't think it was quite like that. Agony, pain, burning because of the acid and the stomach literally trying to break him down. God, what is this? I thought, let me preach to somebody here right now. I thought I was called, but now I'm here. If I was called, why am I here? What is this? If I really was anointed by God, then why am I where I'm at right now? Because, Jonah, the Ninevites are only going to listen if you come from the place that you're in right now. We all want to preach from the pulpit. But let me just tell you something. When you start talking about where God brought you from, let me just tell you something. That tattoo you got. Can I preach? Those scars you got while you were drunk driving, that's all a part of the story. God brought me out of the belly of the whale. And if he brought me out, Nineveh, he can bring you out too. I'm telling you today what I feel. Bishop Sutton, there's an impartation of evangelism that's in this house. There's a Jonah here that you're going to preach to Birmingham, and you're going to turn it upside down so many different ways. Birmingham's not even going to know what hit them. So here's the deal. This is what you got to learn. You got to learn how to live in the belly of the fish for the appointed time without getting bitter at God. Because if you will allow yourself, you'll get bitter about what you've been through. And you'll look at those scars, and you'll look at your broken family, and you'll assume that because of the scars and because of the broken family, and because you had a no good dad or a no good mom, and because you're an alcoholic, or because you're homeless and you don't have any money, because you came in here today with just the clothes that you wear on your back and that's all you got, let me tell you something. You are still valuable to the kingdom of God, regardless, you hear me, regardless of what the devil said. God is in control and you are valuable. History tells us that the eastern wall of Nineveh, I'm talking about a wall of a city. Stand with me if you will. This is my second closing. I got one more. I'm allotted three. That's the rules. I didn't make them. I just follow them. The eastern wall of Nineveh was built by mortar in the heads of the prophets of Israel that had came to. Think about that. Nobody could change them. Nobody could get them to repent. But the guy that was broken and busted and had a past and stunk like the past. Now here's the deal. We believe come as you are, right? You can come however you, but let me just tell you, Jesus never left anybody the same way that he found them. We believe that. Don't you let anybody out there tell you that apostolics don't believe come as you are. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to do anything to come to God. You come as you are, but it's just the way when you meet Jesus and you get him for real, you don't stay as you are, because Jesus changes things. So Jonah, I'm telling you, you can come with the seaweed and you can come with the stench of the whale, but I'm telling you that God's got a way of using you that when you come into the kingdom, you'll never be the same. When you come into the kingdom, you can reach somebody, you can help somebody, you can tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Everybody with a testimony of you've come out of something that was greater than your own strength, that was greater than your own might, would lift your hands and walk to this altar as a testimony to everybody that's here that God can bring you out. Come on, if God's ever brought you out of depression, I wish you'd walk to this altar. If God ever delivered you from alcoholism, I wish you'd walk to the altar. If God's ever brought you out of drug abuse, I wish you'd walk to the altar. If God brought you out of anything, come to the altar and let everybody know that God is in control and he's greater than the fear. Come on. Come on, he's greater. He's in control. Is in control. Come on, Jonah. Don't let the devil convince you that you're useless. You're profitable for the kingdom of God. Yourself a place and pray in your living room. Come on, look around at these people in the altar. That's people just like you. That God brought them out of sin. God brought them out of darkness. God brought them out of addiction. They come out of the fish. The reason the devil wants to keep you where you're at is because he don't want Nineveh to know that there's a God that's greater than they got. The only reason the devil's doing everything he can to keep you where he's at is because he don't want Nineveh to know that God is in control.
And what can stand?
I feel this right now. I don't know who's here who needs to hear this right now. But it doesn't matter if you're praying or you're not, but you listen to Brother Phillips. I just felt this, a check in my spirit. You came from the dysfunctional family, and the devil's trying to convince you that that's going to keep happening with your wife or your husband or your children. But I'm going to tell you that God's in control. I know we could let this go right now, but I'm telling you that the dysfunction in your family does not have to continue. That generational curse can be broken here this morning. I don't care if your mom and daddy got a divorce and you had to grow up bouncing back and forth, and so you think that that's what life as a married couple should be like, and you've already made it up in your mind that I probably won't stay married to the same man or the same woman. I'm telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You don't have to live in that dysfunction. You can be set free by the power of the Holy Ghost here today, because God is in control. Come on, sin, if that's you, you lift your hands right now and you just begin to pray and let the Holy Ghost wash over you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give God praise all over the house today and magnify Him. What a good God, and how worthy of all the praise and all the honor and glory. God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Phillips, for the Word of God today and for the goodness of the Word of God in the house. And for these that, where there were three baptized this morning in the middle of the service, we ought to give God praise for that. And on Wednesday, before the storm came in, we had a couple come, and they were both baptized, and the young man received the Holy Ghost. And so it's been an active week. It's been a really, really good week. We've been trying to find some information on Brother Arthur. Brother Arthur passed away this past week, and I know some of you may not be aware of that, but we couldn't find out anything about it. He kept his life at church and his life outside kind of insulated. But this morning, his sister or a family member came by and talked to Brother Daniel and his aunt. And his graveside service is going to be at Highlands Memorial on Friday at 1:00. And so we are we're really, really happy that Brother Arthur was a part of this church for a long period of time, and we will miss his robust and his echoing voice, but he's making noise in heaven right now, and that's a good thing. I want Brother Daniel to tell you a little bit about what he told me earlier.
So we pulled up this morning, and it was a car that came through the gym entrance, and they pulled right up to where me and Christy parked, and she was saying, "You know a guy that goes to church here named Arthur?" I said, "Yeah, I know Brother Arthur." And she said, "Well, we're his family. We just want to let y'all know that he passed." And I walked up to her. I said, "You know, there was a big pile of rocks over here one day, and me and Brother Arthur were working. And he was cold. He said, I don't have enough, you know, jacket or whatever. He said, take me home." So I was taking him home. And on the way home, he told me that the night before that he had had a dream. And he said, I said, what was your dream, Brother Arthur? He said, I was walking on streets of gold. He said, there was a pearly gates, and God spoke to me, said, well done, Arthur, well done, come on in. And I said, what's that mean? He said, God was telling me that he was pleased with me, that I had done a good job, and that to come on in. And I said, they told me, when I told her that, she immediately started weeping. I said, you know, you need to come in here and see what he's been doing for the last 20 years. And she said she's coming, but she said whenever they found him, that they found him with his hands on his head like this right here, and he had died in his sleep. So
So we will miss Brother Arthur, but I will see him again, and we're glad for his testimony. I'm going to miss him. He would come through and clean up after service when he was here, just real quietly, if you can imagine. Without any fanfare, he would take care of a lot of little chores and business around here. Precious, precious man in the house of God, and a character. And one of the reasons I love the Church of the Living God so much is there's so much room for so many different types of people. And the world harps on diversity. They have no idea. They need to come to an apostolic church on a Sunday night and see what it's really like. But anyway, we're rejoicing in those that have come into the kingdom this week, and we're rejoicing in the move of God in the house of God today. And tonight we expect to have revival. We expect people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And who knows, you might go fishing this afternoon. You might just go and knock on somebody's door or call somebody, or if you buy lunch somewhere or you stop by Piggly Wiggly or wherever you go, then talk to those folks that you're doing business with and give them a flyer from out of the foyer or a card and tell them you've got to come and see what God is doing. Praise God. Let's give him another hand praise and lift up your voice. Magnify him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, mighty God, worthy God. We praise you. God bless you. We'll see you this evening.